Okay, I should be live. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the live stream. This is technically week 49. I know this is like the second month I'm doing this, but we've been doing the weekly wins on our forum now for 49 weeks, which means next week is week 50. I didn't realize this until one of the community members was awesome and went ahead and already posted week 50. But yeah, we're almost in week 50. So the highlight today, before you all panic click on this video, I tried to not make the title too like alarming, but it was the win. Like, it's what someone is trying to do, but it's about some stuff happening in Switzerland recently. So a lot of people in Switzerland are talking about how they're going after some end-to-end encryption and online anonymity, and I'll briefly cover this. Nothing's actually been done yet, and they are fighting it, so I don't want to necessarily, like, outside of giving it attention and making you all aware of it, I don't want us to react irrationally to it. But the win today covers someone's journey in, like, well, what happens if something like this actually ever happens in any country? And how do I pick services that are more resilient to this, etc.? And it's a really good question, and it's going to be the main highlight today from Scott. So just to tease what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and just stay in the live chat for a sec and let people join. As always, kind of the structure that we've been doing for this is I'm gonna just be here with you for a few minutes in the live chat, let people log in, we'll go through the wins. I have a little bit less time this week. I have about an hour and a half total, and there's like, Jesus Christ, how many are there? It's 48 comments on the forum, so I might have to be a little quicker today in terms of just getting through people. So if I am a little bit more brief today, I apologize in advance. I also want to try to leave time for you all in the live chat afterwards. That's all I have to start with. Let me go ahead and see the live chat. Do I sound good? Do I look good? Definitely let me know before I start really getting into it. But let's see here. Incognito, I was ignoring this. Yeah, I don't think you should ignore it, but it's good to at least think about it and what happens if things turn out worst case scenario, right? Also, anyone in the Techlorien Signal group, our little private Signal group, you're also, like, I have it open here as well, so I can also see anything that you guys send there. Let's see. I'll give a little bit more context over the news article in a second. Let's go back to Carrier Pigeons from Jasper. Yeah, it is definitely a pattern. Cubic said, good sound, looking good. Okay, cool. In the Signal group. Fuzzy Mint, hello, nice to see you live this week. Yep, I haven't missed a week yet. Last week was on Thursday, which was a little bit off because normally it's on Friday. And it felt weird because that extra day made it feel like the stream happened 2 weeks ago in my head. I don't know why. Just that one day made such a big difference. I'm angry BitChute has been betrayed. Don't know what happened with BitChute. Definitely feel free to share. Henry's live. Yes. Hello, Neil. Hello, Pishbot. Hello, Dread. Hello, Carter, YouTube member. Nice hairdo. Thank you. Thank you. Jaden says, yes, loud and clear. Hello, Jaden. Hello, Nanito boy. Garujo. I might have got it. Privacy win. Migrated from Google Keep, Notion, and Samsung Reminders to Notes Nook. Nice, nice. Really awesome to hear that, Chris. And welcome into the live stream. Nice to see you all. Definitely say hi if you're in the live chat. And I'll go ahead and start giving you a little bit more context. We have about 100 people on, so let's go ahead and get started. So the story this week is about Switzerland. So I want to make something very clear. None of this has happened yet. It's things that are being talked about that they're trying to do that many companies are fighting really hard against, because it would be very bad if any of this happened. So none of this has actually happened. We're not in panic mode yet, but this is in we need to be aware of this mode, right? We need to think about it. We need to at least think about worst case scenarios. We need to communicate as much as we can, especially if you're in Switzerland and you're in a position where you can communicate directly with your politicians. Now's the time to speak up. Not time to panic, time to speak up. With that said, all of you, to kind of expand on what's going on here. So they're considering amending surveillance laws to add new types of monitoring and information collection, which would widen the reach to VPNs and secure messaging providers. To simplify what they're trying to do, as far as I know, they already have some bad things in terms of what they can track for certain types of organizations and companies. So for example, like ISPs are have to be respected in certain ways that other organizations don't have to. And what they're trying to do, based on my understanding, is they're trying to widen the scope of what that means to include services like Proton, who is based out of Switzerland and has notoriously always been like super like, oh, we are in Switzerland, the best privacy laws, etc. It's actually very debated, just a little context, how good Switzerland actually is for privacy. Tu does put out some blog posts trying to make their argument for why Germany's better for privacy than Switzerland. Some people who have more of a legal background fight a lot against Switzerland actually being the best place, and there are some better countries. This is all to say that if this happens, it's going to be really tough for Proton and Proton users to easily be able to still trust the service and have confidence that they're going to continue being a trusted place. Do you need to move away from Proton right now? Absolutely not. Should you at least think of a scenario where something crazy happens to Proton, whether it's this, whether it's something crazy happening to the company? Yes, I think it's always good to think about those worst case scenarios. And if the UK end-to-end encryption thing is any reminder, you never know what services you use today might not be available tomorrow. And it's important to use resilient tools that can make it much harder for this to happen, which I think Proton is in many ways very resilient. But also, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So to pivot over to the wins, I wanted to talk about Scott. This context was important because Scott's win is that he's saying, you know, Swiss government wants to kill end-to-end encryption. As a Proton customer, I feel I should have a plan in case that law passes. I do have a document with all the ways I can take back a bit more privacy, and the Swiss news has encouraged me to revisit and update my file. Tuda, Addy, and Mulvad VPN are my front runners for a Proton replacement. If I need to leave Proton, I may as well use services with anonymous payment methods. I've been looking into how to buy Monero. Turns out it's pretty easy in Cake Wallet. I also plan on moving to Linux soonish, and I've been looking into what apps I can use. I've been on Android for many years, so I'm out of the loop on different operating systems. And there's a lot more services here that Scott dives into that he's looking for replacements for. The huge win here, and I think what Scott is doing is awesome. Personally, you know, I'm not following this case, you know, step by step. I'm sure Proton is. This is super critical to Proton. The worst case scenario is bad, but typically we don't see the worst case scenarios actually pan out. With that said, what Scott is doing is still planning for the worst case scenario. What happens if this happens? Do I have backup protocols? I really hope that the UK end-to-end encryption thing for iCloud should have been a good reminder that you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I have a lot of I have a lot of contingency plans if something I use goes away. Well, what do I move to? Do I have my data already backed up? What are the alternatives? Who do I have to notify? Part of you choosing to use different privacy and security tools is also knowing how to use them with resiliency. And a good example of this, all of you probably use an end-to-end encrypted messenger because you're subscribed to this channel and you're listening to this stream. Signal's had downtime, WhatsApp has had downtime, iMessage has had downtime. What happens when your contacts can't be contacted on these platforms? This is just one minor example of why you should always have backups in place for people you communicate with, as well as for you and your data. So the main win for Scott is I'm just really proud of them thinking ahead on this. I don't really care what their alternatives are. You know, they like Mulvad. I think Mulvad's great. I think Addy's great. I think Tuda's great. But all of you listening, just the reminder of this week is to have contingency plans in place for when things go wrong, because you never know what's going to happen. But if you're a little bit more prepared, you'll be ready to go no matter what happens, no matter what country does, whatever crazy thing they want to do. And best case scenario, things just resume as they always have, and you won't have to actually implement any of your strategies. So I want to give a massive shout out to Scott, and I think what Scott's doing is a good lesson for everyone listening, which is why I made it the highlight of this week. So thank you all, and that is my spiel for the first win. Again, I'm going to try to keep the next wins a little bit more brief because we have 48 of them, and I have like a pretty hard hour and a half cut this week. So feel free to start leaving your wins in the YouTube live chat, and I'll be sure to get to those at the end. And I'll also take breaks as I'm going through the wins to kind of like check in with the live stream. So we got Marnix in the Signal group who said, great reminder, looking into Tuda as well. I love their use of green energy. Yeah, I really like Tuda. It has a very like grassroots vibe to it, which I prefer. Proton feels to me like almost closer to Google than like a small email provider in a way. So yeah. Mohammed said that they have put my online games on a separate user profile to protect the main one from IP attacks and resource hogging. Great example of compartmentalization here. This is awesome to see. If you have school, work, gaming, try to keep them in. The way I break it down for clients I work with one-on-one is the simplest way to compartmentalize things is in a browser. So you can use different browser profiles if you use something like Brave. From there, you can use different browsers altogether. So you have Brave for one thing, Firefox for another thing, Tor for another thing, etc. From there, it's multiple user accounts. So you can have a different user account on the same computer. From there, it's having multiple VMs for different things. And then finally, the last form and the last most like extreme version of compartmentalization is multiple devices. So each part of your life has a different device. So that's typically how I break down the options. If you're somebody who has many different areas of your life, which most of us do, we have families, we have work, we have personal lives, we have relationships, we have school, etc. So just think about how you compartmentalize those. Edward. Hello, Edward. They switched from using only Firefox for everything to using LibreWolf, Tor, and Brave for specific purposes. Love that. Every browser is better at something than another browser. You know, pros and cons between different browsers, so I'm all for maximizing each browser for what it is good at. So use multiple browsers. They deleted their old Discord and Facebook account. Congrats. They switched from Windows to Linux. I'd love to know what distro you chose, Edward, so feel free to share more about your experience, especially next week. I'm sure many of us would like to hear what your experience is like. They moved their friends and family from Signal to SimpleX. It seems superior in terms of privacy and security compared to Signal and Session. I do have Signal for some people, but I'm converting more people day by day. It has become a lot more usable nowadays. Yeah, I think someone had a similar win last week. I'm really surprised because I feel like the main selling point I've always used for Signal is it's super usable and like really easy to use. And I feel like SimpleX has been improving a lot, but it's still not there. So at least based on my arguments I've used for Signal, it wouldn't be easy for me to get people to SimpleX. But if you're using privacy as your like main selling point, then you can probably get some people on SimpleX. So good job. And it's cool that you're able to get people to even more private services as well. Marnix has a win in our Signal group. I have a win, helped someone I care about adjust privacy and security settings and switch to Brave. That's awesome. Good job, Marnix. It's a small win, but like those things add up. And honestly, if everyone moved to Brave or just a privacy browser, it would make a huge difference globally. It would like overnight change the entire industry of surveillance capitalism. So it's a big win. Cubic is a bronze Techlorian. I'll talk about that at the end. But they transferred their mobile number to JMP chat and started using Cheogram for texting. The main draw was the ability to receive texts on multiple devices and reply from their computer, but that's the additional benefit of no longer sending data through a major mobile carrier. So if none of you have heard of JMP.chat, it's actually a really cool service that allows, it's the closest thing to like almost self-hosting your text messages. Like people always ask, what's a private VoIP service? That's kind of what JMP chat is. So I believe it's conducted over XMPP. So as long as you find an XMPP client, you can use it on any device. It's cross-platform and you can use it with open source clients. So it's pretty cool, really cool tech, a bit harder to set up than your typical like MySudo. But once you have it set up, it's actually a really cool service. And they used to sponsor Surveillance Report. It was one of our, like, I think it was our first sponsor on Surveillance Support, and we were super excited about it because it's genuinely a really cool service. So, yeah, check them out. Nothing but like good things to say about them based on my experience. So, congrats, Cubic, and nice job setting it up. And they, if you want to on the forum, they dig into all the main benefits and downsides so far. I'm gonna take a quick break, check in with the live chat here. So let's see how we're doing. Nice hairdo, yes, thank you. Quick question before this starts. How do I buy XMR? I'm 16 and I'm pretty sure it's either mining. Not sure what else to do. Yeah, so this is a little bit complicated to go into in the live stream, but there's some really good YouTube guides already that kind of detail the options to buy XMR. Typically, the cool thing with Monero is that once it's turned into Monero, the on and off ramps before then don't really matter too much. So if you have a way to get Bitcoin or Litecoin or any other coin, you can just swap it into Monero. Using something like Trocador, using something like Cake Wallet, using any kind of swap online. And once you do that swap and it's in Monero, like everything before it becoming Monero is pretty darn private. So if you're struggling to get Monero directly, especially without KYC, that's typically what I recommend to most people. Which VPN do you trust the most? Yeah, I don't mean I. It's an interesting question, and a lot of you are expecting me to say what I probably typically say, which is like, "Well, check out our chart," which is my formal answer for the record. But I have served like I have my personal thoughts on services that I don't always fully share because I'm giving advice to thousands of people. So typically, when I'm talking about services, I'm talking about them. I will inject, of course, things that I think are important to say. I have my biases, but generally speaking, I'm not here to be like, "Oh, IVPN is the best." So I personally really trust Mulvet and IVPN. I've communicated with them in the background, especially IVPN. Like, I've talked a lot with their team. I've met some of their team members in real life. Like, I have that connection. So I'm biased towards saying, like, yeah, I trust them the most. And I think most people, if they actually meet team members on a team and get to know them and get to know their personalities, those are the services you're going to trust the most. With that said, just because I haven't had that relationship with Mulvad doesn't mean that they aren't also an incredible service. And so when I present it publicly, it's like, well, check out our VPN chart. Mulvad, IVPN, Proton VPN, and Windscribe are typically the top four that people really enjoy in our community. But if you really want to know my personal thoughts, I trust IVPN the most because I just have that relationship with them. And they've never sponsored TechLore. They don't have affiliate plans. There's like zero incentive for me to say that. It's just I've met their team. And when you meet a team and you build that relationship, it's hard not to like have more trust with the team. But I've tried my best to not let that like influence like the open source tools because I mean they're all open source, so you guys can see those. Yeah, I just thought that'd be some cool like behind the scenes. Christopher, Privacy Win moved to NotesNook. Congrats. I'm struggling to get my site to preview, by the way. Yeah, I hope you can get that figured out. Definitely keep us updated. I know you're in the Signal group, so I'm sure we'll hear updates there. I started using Entei this week. Carter, trying to mainly use that for photos and videos now. I also deleted my first Gmail account out of five. Okay, yeah, you got four more, but that's how you get started, and now you know how to do it. So you can replicate that for four more. Yeah, Neil's talking about how bad privacy is for cars. It's definitely a thing. JMP also does Matrix, so yeah, it is cool. Yeah, JMP is really cool. Saber, do you think politics should play a role in picking a product? Brave, for example, has a lot of conservative people running and funding it. I use their search, and I'm concerned about skewed results. Yeah, so I talked about this recently regarding Proton, in the context of Proton, because their CEO, they're like denying this happened now, which I think is crazy. But their CEO came forward and like was very pro Trump, which is fine, but they published that through the official Proton account. So this is all a personal decision for you, right? Like ethics are really hard to define. It's really hard to decide like at what point something is too much for you. So my issue with especially the Proton one is that it was published on a formal Proton account. So if you I don't think any privacy service should be inherently political, because privacy is a human right that should stretch across both aisles politically, right? And so I think I don't blame Andy, the CEO of Proton, for having his own thoughts. And I think if he published them on his personal account, sure. The mistake was publishing them on the official Proton accounts. And I think that's a problem. And from there, it's your personal choice, right? Like, I have some things that I boycott that I don't agree with people behind the project, and so I just flat out don't use them. But it really depends on the severity, how much I think it impacts, like the thing I care most about, et cetera. That's a personal decision that I can't make for you. What I can tell you is I highly disagree with services that officially have a political stance on things. I think that's just unnecessary, alienates people who could benefit from a good service, and that's the issue I have. So, yeah. Fuzzy Mint asks, trying Cake Wallet. Hopefully, Cake Wallet allows for people under 18 to use their services since cryptocurrency is an issue for me due to legal age requirements. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Definitely check the terms and conditions. So I haven't looked into that, and you can always ask a parent theoretically to buy it for you. That's always an option as well, or like a guardian or whatever situation you're in. And last one before I go back to the forum. Lelusco says, Privacy One, I finally created an emergency sheet for my past manager. Good if I forgot something or die, and I finally made backups. So that's great. Good stuff. And I'm glad that you have those backups ready to go. Going back to the forum, Lightning Toaster. So for anyone who's still here, I know we're almost at 200 viewers, which is awesome. I already covered the Switzerland story towards the beginning, so feel free to rewind if you want to get the whole scoop on that and like why it's important and what we're trying to do to help like set you up for success. So Lightning Toaster says, small win slash improvement on my recreation only, no SIM Android device. I did some cleanup, went from about 50 apps to 40. Love the digital minimalism. Some of them did the same thing, like having multiple YouTube front ends. And due to most of those removals being games, I can happily say that the percentage of F-Droid-based apps is now as high as around 90%. This reminds me of Signal. They used to have an insight score on Android because Signal used to support SMS on Android. I'm sure many of you remember that. But it gave you a score of the number of messages sent via Signal or via SMS because you can set Signal as your default SMS app. And I remember having my score at like 98% and I was really happy about that. So just takes me back to the good old days when Signal supported SMS, which I wish they still did because then it would set them up to maybe support RCS. And anyway, even though I only played those games firewalled using Rethink, I know they were hammering on the firewall. So cool. It sounds like you just decluttered, got a little more minimal, and I'm sure it feels good. I personally, and everyone I talk to for the most part, like anytime they clean up their phone, make things a little more minimal, make things easier to see and like navigate, they all say it's great. So I think it's great too. So if you haven't already, clean up a few apps on your phone you don't need, it'll feel better. I'm seeing some messages in the Signal group. Let's see. Almost 200 views. Yeah, they're like, wow, there's a lot of people. Cool. Let's see. They're talking about JMP here. Okay, so Cutie has a lot of wins. I'm just going to run through these and go ahead and shout them out. So Move to Zen. It's an open source like Arc alternative. It's a browser. So I hope you enjoy it. Definitely feel free to update next week on your experiences. They also moved their friend to Zen. They downloaded extensions on Zen. They helped their sibling with their new phone setup by logging into Gmail and downloading apps through Aurora, which is a good way to get them a little bit more de-Googled. So good job. They're able to figure out a long-time issue they were facing where they used Rethink to block internet connection for apps like Calculator and Camera, but they realized that if they connected their device to Proton, those apps get internet access for that time period. So I just started using Opera VPN since I need VPN for some rare occasions. I'm still open to listen if there's better things I can do. Yeah, so some people might have already responded, but there's probably some way to try to use Rethink DNS with a VPN, but I'm not fully sure. Actually, the developer of Rethink DNS is on our forum, so they might be able to help you out if there's a workaround to get a VPN connection running alongside Rethink. I personally haven't tried that workflow, but there might be a way to do it. And then let's see. They were facing issues with Fudo, but they gave given a way to work around it, which is awesome, and they uninstalled apps on their old laptop to get a little bit better performance. And they also started using a laptop stand for better posture. Guys, honestly, like, I got a laptop stand, and it's pretty, like, game-changing, and I actually bring it with me now if I go work out of cafes. I am now that guy who is on the table with a frickin' with a laptop stand and, like, a wireless keyboard, wireless mouse, and I have my little, like, workstation on the go. I look maybe like a dork. I don't really care because I can actually like work comfortably out in public now, and it's at eye level because when you're working on a laptop, it's so easy to like collapse because you have to keep your eyes down. But if you're like, it changes everything. So highly recommend it, and it's a good investment for your long-term health. Yes, and someone said, Manstrawl said laptop stands are great for cooling too. So yeah, if you're running especially an inefficient computer, that generates a lot of heat, can be good for that too. Let's see, BaseNote. BaseNote just did some corrections for Cutie. Let's see, got some discussions. All right, Claude. My privacy win should have been me installing ProtonPass after hearing so much positive feedback and setting up 2FA in all accounts with Entei Auth, but I'm a bit confused now since the password for my Entei Auth is saved in the vault on ProtonPass. And ProtonPass is locked with a master password and a code from the authentication app, which is Entei Auth. Wouldn't it mean that hacking or breaching my one master password would essentially lead to breaking all my security measures since one holds the key to opening the other and vice versa? Yeah, so I think a lot of people already like kind of engaged with this and gave you their thoughts. So my thoughts on this are, if you want to do things cleanly, I would recommend setting them up separately. And you know how on ProtonPass, you probably don't have a password manager to get into your ProtonPass, so you need to memorize your way to get in to your ProtonPass or whatever password manager you use. I'd recommend doing that with Entei Auth as well. One alternative, and this is actually what I do because I don't want to have to memorize two passwords. I have an offline, like separate auth app. I know it's like one thing to get into the other thing and it's never ending, but I have a separate auth app that I use just to get into Entei auth, which is ridiculous and it's probably not the cleanest way to do things. But you can have a lot of fun with this and play around with like the best workflows for you. So this way with my workflow, I pretty much have Entei auth credentials or my Entei account credentials, and then I have a separate authentication on an offline to get into that Entei auth account, and then I just have to memorize my Proton Pass password. I don't know if that makes sense. That's what I do. But either way, the most important thing, regardless of what you do, is have some kind of emergency sheet or have a way to get access to your like most important accounts. So I have a list. I won't say them for OPSEC reasons, but I have a list of like three or four accounts that like. And I would like everyone to think about this. Let's say you leave your house and all of your devices get stolen. Your phone, your computers, everything. What accounts do you need where if you buy a new device, you can gain access to your most important things? I think a lot of people don't ask that question and they find out too late that, oh crap, they got locked out of their entire digital life. So make a list of the accounts that you need if you lose all your devices. Have those on an emergency sheet, make copies of those emergency sheets and put them in safe places so that if your devices are ever lost, stolen, et cetera, you can go ahead and just find your sheet, you're chill, you already prepped for this, and then you get into your main accounts and then you set up your life again anew. You will thank yourself if anything ever happens. So definitely have an emergency sheet, have a way to get into sensitive accounts, and that's what I'd highly recommend here. And then there's more advice that like Basenote gave and other people. So everyone has different ways to do this. So go ahead and check through the forum if you really want to see. Crow, who is committing to the person, the personality here of Crow, they deleted Google Chrome, Discord, and WhatsApp, and they now use Firefox, Telegram, SimpleX, Proton VPN. Again, these are the wins. So I do think Telegram is, you know, if that's what you're moving to, fine. Just keep in mind if you're using Telegram, try to at least enable the secret chat so you have end-to-end encryption and be aware Telegram is nowhere near as private as they advertise. So just keep that in mind. As long as you have that on your radar, then you're good. Don't use Google's email anymore. Enable 2FA. They use Tor proxy to Telegram and they downloaded Cake Wallet. And I think that's all. And I remembered I deleted my Netflix account. So that's awesome. Tons of great wins. And as long as you're aware of Telegram's issues, then you're good. And make sure to enable the secret chats on Telegram. Let's see. Basenote, if you're trying to save money, okay. Those are just discussions there. Crow wants to really make it clear that they hate Netflix, and I agree. You got some more tips and discussions here. We got Wicked Rabbit. Hello, everyone from Amsterdam. My small win of the week is the implementation of BetterFox, UserJS, and Firefox. I didn't want to mess around with Arc and Fox since it's definitely not some out-of-the-box, one-and-done solution for hardening Firefox. BetterFox is an amazing project that takes care of so many tweaks within Firefox, and I just wish there was a way to combine it in one for even more smooth and secure performance at the hardening of Arc and Fox. And before someone suggests it, yes, I'm aware of Xen, Mulvad, LibreWolf, etc. I like vanilla Firefox, although I admit Mozilla has been anything but trustworthy or giving reliable vibes for the past 5 years or so. So it sounds like for whatever reason, Wicked Rabbit doesn't want to use Xen, Mulvad, LibreWolf, and they just want to use the official Firefox browser. And they're using the BetterFox UserJS as like an easy one-stop way to make their privacy better. I've actually never really heard much about BetterFox or used it myself, so I'll be looking more into that because that's a really good like thing for me to know about. Historically, Arc and Fox is what does this. For those who aren't aware, with Firefox, you can essentially like drag a file, your UserJS file, and Arc and Fox is pre-hardened with that file. So you can just drag it into your regular Firefox. It essentially hardens it for you, but it hardens it pretty much to the max by default. So things will break and you're supposed to like let off the steam. You're supposed to pretty much go, you know, gas pedal all the way down and then slowly start removing things until you get it to where you want. Whereas it sounds like BetterFox might just give a better like out-of-the-box configuration. So if any of you have used BetterFox, let me know. I'll be checking the Signal group and the live chat. Let me know if you've heard of it or used it. Let's see here. Backfield, who is an early Techlorien, they're a bronze Techlorien. They want to share that they have been successful in streamlining and improving their decision-making process when choosing privacy tools. This is going to be the last one before I go back to the live chat and give you all a little more love there. So their issue for a long time has been deciding between different tools, especially if all the options have something interesting to offer. Because of this, I've tried finding new discussions and opinions, even though they rarely give me new insights, as I've already done my research on them. As a result, I have often been jumping from one tool to the next when I feel particularly convinced by one of them. But this doesn't lead to long-term satisfaction because I will eventually change my mind again. So instead of all this, I have focused on trying to ask myself very specific questions about what I actually want from this privacy tool. What are my requirements? Do I need to compromise somewhere? Or maybe there are some things that I'm not willing to compromise because of my personal values. As a consequence, I've been making decisions that I'm now feeling much more content with, as I know I'm choosing the best tool for my specific circumstances. Some examples include switching to Zen Browser and Chromite, using a mix of Acrescent, Google Play, and Optanium to install apps, and continuing to use ProtonMail instead of switching to Tuta. So this is awesome. And the reason why. So Backfield, I have a slightly different take on where you're at. I think that you switching between services, reading through forums, learning things from the community, and like trying these out and figuring out what you actually need from these services, that's a part of the journey. So I think that rather than this being like a shift in how you see things, I think it's actually just the next step of you growing and figuring out what you actually need from the privacy community. And this is something like I've experienced, a lot of other people have experienced, where you kind of, the most natural thing to do is, what's the most private thing I can possibly use? And you kind of just start going into that rabbit hole. But then very quickly you realize, oh, well, you know, nothing's perfectly private. This is all a spectrum. And I realize, oh crap, I can't even get anything done anymore because I just use these services that only care about privacy and there's no middle ground with usability or your relationships. You can't just get everyone in your life on the most private messenger out there. You have to try to compromise. And so I think what you're kind of finding is you're kind of understanding your needs, you're understanding your relationship with services a bit better, and now you're able to make much more individualized decisions that don't necessarily rely on other people's opinions as much. So I think it's a mark of how far you've come. I think anyone listening eventually will get to that point. But it does require kind of going through the experimentation phase, like try out services, like see what works for them, see what doesn't work for them, and be open to changing, right? And change things and see like, oh, wow, like, why did I change? That was a stupid change. It's like, this is so much worse. It's not worth the sacrifices. And then you move back to what you were using and you gain more appreciation for what you were using. So my point here with all of this is to say that the journey is different for everybody. Backfield is like getting to the point, which I'm really happy to see, where like you're able to make those decisions for yourself. And I think that's why it's really hard sometimes for me to like, you know, I can give you all broad advice and sometimes I'll share like, oh yeah, but I do this thing. It's a bit different than what I'll formally recommend. And people go, well, why do you recommend that? Why is that different from what you do? And it's like, well, because I have my own personal life and I have my own things that I'm trying to prioritize, which is different from what you guys are trying to do. And what I'm doing in my personal life isn't universal rules and advice to give you all. And what I try to give is more universal rules and universal things to try and look into. So slightly different. And I'm constantly trying to find ways to like separate like what I do versus what I recommend. I think I do a decent job, but if you all have more, you know, advice or like ways for me to keep that separation, let me know. Or if there's any ever confusion, let me know. But this was a really cool one to read. Like I just think, yeah. It was a cool one to read. This is probably my favorite one of the week. So good job, Backfield. Now I'm going to cut over to the live chat and catch up with you all. Let's see what I missed here. I think I left off on Lelusco. Signal should definitely try to collab with Google to make end-to-end encrypted RCS. Yeah, well, I mean, I made the video recently about how RCS end-to-end encryption is now built into the protocol, so they don't even need to like partner with Google anymore. So I don't know what this is going to look like. Hopefully clients will embrace like RCS with end-to-end encryption and maybe we'll have like a interoperable way for people to communicate with end-to-end encryption. So we'll see. Fuzzy Mint says, I use Apple Pay with my debit card right now. Cake Wallet offers Apple Pay for payments. I can likely bypass that. I'll see what happens. Wish me luck. Yeah, I mean, again, just try to stick with the terms and conditions, see what works. If something doesn't work, then you're going to have to talk to someone who's 18 or older. Laptop scans are great. Yep. Privacy win from Neil Thompson. I recently discovered the Clippius app for Android on F-Droid. This app makes it possible to have a subscriptions feed for videos proxied through an NVIDIA instance. I love it. Ooh, I've never heard of that. Can that be done with things like, why am I blanking? The main client. This is going to drive me wild if I forget the name. No, someone please help me out. What's the name of the like the YouTube PeerTube client on like F-Droid? It's a great app. Why am I blanking on it? Anyway, someone will help me out in a sec here. Which laptop stand do you have? It's not like one of the fancy ones. It's like a generic laptop stand, so I don't even know the brand actually. Yes. Yeah, if you use a password manager, always figure out how you're getting into the password manager and how you're going to have backups for that. It's very important. Yes, NewPipe. NewPipe's the name. Thank you, Marnix, on Signal. Yeah, NewPipe. Thank you. I was going to drive myself crazy trying to figure that one out again. And then right after I'm done streaming, I know the name will come right back to me. That's just how it goes. Grand External, what is everyone using for custom DNS resolver? I tried NextDNS, but they force you into a paid version within the first 30 days. Too many options. They should have a pretty generous free plan. I used the free NextDNS for a long time. So if you go over their query amount, then you might have to pay. Generally, the options I've seen and what's in the tech lore resources is just using your VPN's regular DNS. If you have no reason to change it, then don't change it. But if you want something a little bit more robust, there's Mulvad's DNS, which is free. It doesn't have any customization, but that's actually what I've been trying to play around with recently. So I've been using Mulvad's DNS provider, and it's really solid. I use the most extreme one, which bypass like which blocks. Oh no, it's the next. I think it's the second most extreme one because I still need access to social media sites to run TechLore. So if it wasn't for that one, then I would do the most extreme one. But it blocks like NSFW stuff. It blocks gambling sites. It blocks like ads, trackers, malware, etc. So that's a really good one. But in terms of like the paid options, which have free tiers, the main two that I see a lot is NextDNS and Control D. Otherwise, you can always use something like Quad9. But honestly, I don't know what the benefit is of using something like Quad9 with over like your VPN's DNS. Normally, the reason to use NextDNS or Control D is like you having a lot more customization over what you are filtering. But if you're using a predefined filter anyway, you might as well use your VPN's DNS. So it really depends what you're looking for. And those are kind of my thoughts for things to try. Love Pac-Man? Yes. Yeah, we don't have, so I guess just to make sure everyone's on the same page, there is no Cake Wallet like affiliate links. Okay, yeah. Just wanted to be sure. Like Cake Wallet doesn't do affiliate links. So yeah, they are in our resources, and like I do marketing for Cake Wallet, but there is no other like cross-platform like Monero Wallet out there. Monorujo is on Android, so if you're on Android only, that's an option. And then there's always the official Monero GUI, but there's not really like a cross-platform Monero Wallet. So that's kind of the main option for any of you looking for Monero right now. And yes, for privacy.com, that is a good way to use fiat with better privacy, and there is an affiliate link for that if you do use that. Yeah. Pi-hole, yes, pi-holes are great. Mulvad DNS is great. Yep. Regarding having Firefox, but then adding a custom settings file, the user would still be bound to the new Mozilla terms of service. Yeah, I mean, to some extent, you will be bound to the new terms of service, though. Like, any privacy concerns or any issues should be disabled. Like, you can disable them, right? Like, so you might still have to agree to the terms, but you can like technically disable everything that might be a problem, most likely. Cubic said that take on Backfield's win was very insightful. That's really nice to hear. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm glad I'm saying things that speaks to people. let's see. Yes, I'm now on Proton VPN and Mulvad DNS. Great. I mean, I'll just ask why. Like, Mulvad's DNS like has very like similar pre-custom filters similar to Proton's. Like, Proton also has similar things. So, wondering. Agreed, JP. Very much agree. Operators should embrace RCS. Yeah. True. I think that hardcore phase might be kind of exhausting, but getting to know all of it is good in order to really get a grasp of what does what and what you actually need out of the toolbox. Fully agreed. Yeah. Well put. Broadness 187. I hadn't considered that I could lose my devices. I just added a KeePass file to the flash drive I carry with me in case I lose my TOTP device. Smart. Yeah, assume that your devices just magically disappear one day, and like, what do you do then? That's a good question to ask yourself. Yes, thank you, NewPipe. But it doesn't allow NVIDIA's instances. Wow, that should be something they do. I think that'd be really cool. Seems right up their alley. Seems my friend is shy to ask despite encouraging him. So here it is. What happens when Switzerland bans end-to-end encryption? When implies they're going to. So the fight's not over. What happened? What happens if worst case scenario something happens? They can't just disable end-to-end encryption, so you'll probably have some kind of warning. So really the best thing to do is have backup services ready to go. And then you just have to migrate to services that aren't based in Switzerland. It's as simple as that. It's simple, but it's not easy, right? So that's pretty much it. Hopeless Normie says, I use Firefox Focus on my phone as a burner browser. So it's an ephemeral browser if you've never used it. It's like the ephemeral version of regular Firefox. It like clears your data when you exit. Unfortunately, there's no Firefox Focus for the desktop. What do you use as a burner browser on your desktop? So I think personally, that's exactly where Mulvad's perfect. Mulvad browser is like the ephemeral browser that I use. It's actually my default browser on desktop. That way, any link I open opens in kind of a like disposable ephemeral browser that's not tied to any of my other account-specific browsers. And that's pretty much the closest that I think there is to Firefox Focus on desktop. You can always customize Firefox to pretty much do what Firefox Focus does. Like you can, wipe data on exit, you can harden it, et cetera. But I think Mulvad's a perfect drop-in for like a Firefox Focus on desktop. Cool. All right, I am caught up. Let's go ahead and resume this. If you have any questions for me or things to say, shoot them over. Let's see. BaseNote did some responses. Let's see. Definitely just some responses here. Jonah posted something that ended up in a local bar in San Francisco, which is pretty cool. So that's awesome. Biggish Doctor installed F-Droid inside Samsung Secure Folder, and since they have Google Advanced Protection enabled, it disables any other app install. Not sure if this can be bypassed by something like installing their certificate. My phone options, unfortunately, remain Apple or Samsung. Not perfect, but it works, and it gives me the option of trying out far more open source stuff. Yeah, so just a general win, just to speak to this, you can use F-Droid, Aurora, Optanium on pretty much any Android device. So it's something that's really easy to promote with your friends and family, right? I think a lot of people assume that third-party browsers, it's complicated. That's for people who, a lot of people don't know terminology. So they'll go, oh, isn't that for rooting or isn't that for custom ROMs? But no, just be like, actually, like regular Android is fully open to third-party app stores. And the more people that use third-party app stores, the bigger, market share they get, the more normalized they become, and it makes them that much stronger. So like definitely encourage people to use these third-party browsers. It's a great reminder, I think, because a lot of people think you have to be using custom ROM, and it's just not true. And it's like the biggest selling point of Android in general over iOS. On iOS, you're stuck to the App Store, and you don't have like the awesome like F-Droid open source community that exists over on the Android side of things with like really exclusive apps that have functionality you can't get on iOS. You have like Rethink DNS, which is like a whole firewall tool. You can't do that on iOS. What about peer-to-peer messaging like Briar? You can't do that on iOS. How about a full-blown Tor browser that's officially from the Tor project? You can't do that on iOS because it's all based on WebKit. So there's a lot of things. Oh, what about default messenger? Like making Signal your default messenger. You can't do that on iOS. So my point is there's a lot of little perks on Android, and most of them have to do with third-party like accessibility into the operating system from what I've been able to tell. Garujo said, I'm gonna keep like really trying until one day it's just natural and I'm gonna say it, but it's not natural for me to say it that way because it's a Japanese pronunciation. A small and unconscious win. The grand scheme is showing that it isn't about anything having against them. I've devised the plan of keeping the account but having the profile picture for the faster response contact on Signal. I hope someone takes up them on the message with the same phone number. I'm trying to, okay. I know you're in the live chat, so do you mind expanding here? Oh, okay. I think this might be a response to what you say. Okay, so the small win is I uninstalled Thunderbird for my dad's phone to use for the work email. It's a small step in the right direction, and I'm going to try to get my business to Proton if possible and also get my dad to use Signal. Awesome. Huge wins there. And then as for the photos and navigation situation, first I've decided on ways to put on my notorious user as our very least account, and you put less data to go off. Okay, so you're moving to Waze. Waze is owned by Google, just heads up. So I don't know how much privacy you're getting by doing that, but just something to think about. I remember telling my dad once not to put photos of me on Facebook. Viber is fine since it's end-to-end encryption, but he laughed it off, which is honestly disrespectful and not being the best of all of telling jokes. I wasn't sure on that. Hopefully they just stick to sending them on Viber and that's it. And I'll keep asking them in case they would dare to think to post elsewhere. Feels nice to have a friend that fully respects it, actually. Yeah, I mean, just try to continue communicating. I know it can be hard if people don't like respect your boundaries, but if they don't respect the boundaries, then it's like it's a good moment to be like, hey, you didn't respect my boundary. Like, why not? And so try to have that conversation. And I think that like that's really going to help you. Not showing, it isn't about having something against them, keeping the account. Okay, I don't understand this first part, so if you can help explain that, I see you in the live chat, so if you can go ahead and explain that, that'd be really awesome. Love the t-shirt, Henry, for sale from Grand External. No, so this is actually a, let me see if I can like turn around somehow. It's a Tor Project shirt, if you guys can see that. It's for like Techlore, like I paused it, so we no longer are donating. But for like 2 or 3 years, we've been donating to the Tor Project and EFF every month. And like this shirt was just part of donating to them. So this is like an official Tor Project shirt. And I don't know if it's still in their merch shop, but it was like on their official merch shop. And it's a cool shirt, I really like it. And it's like a very, it's a little bold. I feel like when you wear it in public, like you get a lot of eyes on you. But it's a cool shirt. It's really good to wear for content. NVIDIA keeps YouTube from seeing the end user, but doesn't have a subscriptions feed. NewPipe has a subscriptions feed, but can't use an NVIDIA's proxy. Clippius creates the best of both worlds. Got it. Okay, that really explains it. Thanks, Neil. Yes, Fairphone with Calyx is a pretty cool place to be. I have a Fairphone, and like, it's cool. It's definitely cool. It's not a bad place to be. Okay, so Garujo expanded on Signal here. Let's see. So the win is they got for Viber. They knew friends and family could make a big deal out of it, but they blamed Viber for notifying members that I, quote, left the group. This shouldn't happen when someone deactivates their account. Got it. Okay, so you were successfully able to migrate from the group. Yeah, I mean, it is frustrating because sometimes you do want to leave places quietly. I know sometimes I want to make just small changes on Signal that aren't big and it like notifies everyone for like the silliest things. I'm like, oh. And then, you know, people are asking like, oh, why'd you do this? Like, and it's like, oh, it was just this. Like, it's really small. So yeah, I get it. It's really frustrating. And I wish there was a way, like that should just be an admin setting, like notify members for changes in the group. Like that should just be a basic admin setting for all these communities. I got no. What am I misunderstanding here? Let's see. I just did like the edit says. Okay, so the edit is, I've devised a plan of creating the account by having the profile picture be for faster response. Got it. Okay, so you're planning a way to leave without pissing them off. I get it. Okay. That's a good move. Okay, so if you are in any kind of like public group and you want to leave quietly, then that is a way to do it by just updating the information to kind of just be like, oh, I'm not responding. Here's a better place to reach me. It's a good strat. It's a good way to not have the social suicide that you're referring to in the Signal group. I think I got it now. Did I get it now? I think I did. The group stays. Yeah, but you change like your profile. Yeah, okay, got it. Cool. No, that's a good strat. If that helps anybody else, there's a little bit of advice on how to deal with that awkward situation. So, thank you. Cosmos Cat completed their migration from 1Password to Bitwarden. It's largely improved since 2 years back. They love the new UI, SSH agent, passkey support, username generator, etc. They're missing features from 1Password like tags, watchtower, and sections for custom fields, but they're overall happy with Bitwarden. So, congrats. And privacy app suggestions. They installed Local Send app on family phones for local sharing. They've asked them to use this instead of WhatsApp. They created a family group in Signal for sharing things with the entire family at once. And 2 weeks ago, they bought Filin's lifetime plan and they tried to pitch it as a Google Photos alternative, but they were not happy with the performance and prefer Google Photos. So they're using Filin as a cloud backup, which is honestly still great. You never know what's gonna happen. And if you use something as a backup, that's still a huge win. And they installed Brave app for family members. They're extremely happy with the background YouTube playback. So they've even uninstalled the YouTube app. Yeah, Brave is a really nice one to get people who currently use Chrome. Like, it blocks ads out of the box. It just improves the user experience out of the box. It makes things faster out of the box. It protects their privacy out of the box. And it adds cool things like YouTube background playback. Like, it's a great way to get people started on privacy, I think. The two like really easy places to get people started on privacy is either moving them to something like Brave or just getting them to install uBlock Origin in whatever browser they're currently using. It's like such an easy way to make a big difference for people, and they really normally appreciate it. Okay, we got a win from LibPM. So they said a disposable joke email provider is back online. Allegedly, an email domain referencing the infamous German leader from the 30s was targeted by two intelligence agencies to destabilize the free service. But the domain has been sunset by the mail provider and the service is back online. It's pretty cool. And then for their personal wins, they switched from Brave to BetterFox. This is my second time hearing about BetterFox. My yearly browser switch due to frustration. That's funny. It's much smoother experience on BetterFox. And if you don't know what it is, it's a user script that cleans up telemetry and junk from Firefox. Cool. It sounds like just a mellow version of Arc and Fox that's like a little bit more accessible to people, which is really cool. LibreWolf feels slow, in my opinion. BetterFox is a great option and does the same thing as LibreWolf without needing to modify things. All you have to do is download the JavaScript file and drag it into your profile folder, and it removes all the clunk. Really cool. I'm going to try it out. Maybe I'll make a video on it. And then reason for the switch, they were getting annoyed with Chromium in general, and they made a guide on better Brave browser. You can actually cannot modify the flags in Chrome via an external tool, whereas in Firefox you can. They also went ahead and detailed some of their issues with Brave. And their synopsis is they don't think Brave is a bad thing, although they do have Brave problems where they switch between browsers. So they still use Brave, but it won't be their primary until I get tired of Firefox, and then I'll see you again in a year when you decide to switch to something else. Ozen, well, we're almost done, actually. We're down to the last few here. And then I can open it up to all of you in the live chat. Ozen said they ditched any bootloaders for my Linux laptop and started using UKI, which is a unified kernel image with secure boot directly from UEFI. So the UKI is the combination of UEFI boot stub programs like systemd, a Linux kernel image, and initrd, and further resources. This is beyond me. But the TLDR is it will greatly reduce complexity of the boot processes and enhance security, especially for laptops where there's a high chance of theft or tampering of the device. Yeah, so I've never played around with this, and a lot of this is a bit over my head. But if any of you are listening, it sounds like a win. If you know what they're talking about and you want to give congrats, please do. Does someone want to explain? Ringcash said LibAllPM. That's a nice name. I don't get it. So fill me in. Fill me in on the name. Thundercat. I like the profile here. It's a cool little profile. I made everyone in my family delete their Facebook account. Yes, we also don't use WhatsApp for family communication. I'm really happy about it. Very simple, very hard to do, very big thumbs up. That's awesome. A little more discussions. Plasma, in this week, my privacy improving was mainly on my phone. I switched to open source alternatives, the main one being FOSS alternatives to Google Phone and Messages, and replaced the manufacturer's camera app to Secure Camera, switched from watching YouTube in the YouTube app to NewPipe, downloaded music so I can listen to them offline, downloaded Aurora and F-Droid. On that note, I installed Florisboard as an open source alternative to Gboard, and I love it, and finally replaced Google Maps with Organic Maps, so whenever I need Google Maps, I use it inside Brave. Only thing is I'm working on migrating my 2FA from Aegis to Entei. So far, so good. Yeah, so it sounds like you've just gone through and like swapped out services you were using for just better ones. And a lot of these, you probably have already realized, don't really impact things any differently in your day-to-day workflow. So you're moving like a lot of your needlessly proprietary services to open source ones, which is awesome. So congrats, and let us know how Entei is from Aegis. It's a pretty cool app, I think. Base note, let's see, just more responses. And this is the last one, actually. So this is from a Rewire 584, who says, I know I'm kind of late to the RSS party and removing algorithms from our lives, but I've finally been able to purge my influence from content recommendations feed. On the social media platforms I use, like YouTube and Lemmy, I now only sort by new, and I now get my news with this Newsflash RSS reader, which fits in well with the GNOME desktop. It feels a lot more reliable and purposeful than getting my news from YouTube or Reddit. Yeah, so I've already given my whole spiel on like trying to get away from algorithms and like reclaiming your attention, reclaiming your time, and in doing so, a lot of times reclaiming your privacy. In one of the first streams I did, I think it was one of the first three streams for this Privacy Wins, where someone talked about moving to RSS. So definitely go back and check that out if you want to see my full thoughts on RSS and why you should consider it. But it's awesome. It's super old technology, but it's like so underrated, and lots of the things we use are still dependent on RSS. If you listen to a podcast, it's using RSS in the background. That's how RSS technology works. If you have ever used our forum, it's all built on RSS in terms of like how you can follow different feeds. You don't have to have an account to do that. Most news sites use RSS. You can follow YouTube channels with RSS. You can follow most things on the internet with RSS. And when you can't follow something directly with RSS, there's normally an indirect way to do it. So yeah, definitely check out RSS if you haven't already. Highly recommend it. And that, everybody, is week 49. So there already is week 50 open, and you can already see some of the posts. So Rolls Ice Cream, Unknown Ghost, Robbie, Omar, we got some new people here. So definitely join in on week 50. It's week 50, like that's a huge deal. I don't know, it's kind of awkward though, because like 50 is like a nice round number, but 52 is like a lot more important because that's a year, right? So 52 weeks, is it 52? Am I making that up? It's not 56, it's 52, right? I'm not going crazy. I'm losing my mind. Yeah, 52. Technically 52.17857, according to DuckDuckGo. My point is that it's gonna be a big couple weeks, I think, for these streams. So it's gonna be fun to have you all on there. I still haven't got any more tips on XMR chat. So if you guys want like dedicated wins, dedicated comments, questions, send them over through XMR chat. It's the way to just send Monero and leave a tip. But we still haven't had one in a while. The last one was from Linux VM. Here, let me show it. So if you want to join in, and instead of leaving a super chat on YouTube, you can join on XMR chat, and it's like the equivalent of a super chat with Monero. And now I'm open for all of you in the live chat. I got through all the wins in under an hour, which I'm pretty excited about. Let's see here. I'm gonna move all of your comments here to my main display so I don't have to keep looking away. Let's see. And also everyone in the Signal group, like very, very on between the two of them. So let's see. Years ago, Tor used to give you a t-shirt if you hosted for a certain period of time. Not sure they still do though. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I know if you donate, you can typically get merch along with your donations, though. Thoughts about Faraday bags? Yeah, so one, my thoughts on Faraday bags. If you don't know what Faraday bags are, it's essentially, you know, they're either a bag or a backpack or a pouch or a wallet, etc., that's designed to block radio signals from your devices. So typically, if your phone has LTE, you throw it in a Faraday bag, and then it can't communicate with the outside world. Couple notes on Faraday bags. One, actually check to see if they work. A lot of these Faraday bags are either like slight scams or complete scams, like they don't do anything. So actually you have to have a way to like test out that they work. That's the number one thing. Two, it's not something that's like on the Techler resources, nor do I really talk about it very much because it's really hard to fit Faraday bags into like the kind of threat models that I typically talk about here. So for example, I see people sometimes say, well, I throw this phone into a Faraday bag before I get home. And it's like, well, there's no way to really evaluate how effective that is because like what theoretically what a cell company sees is, oh, this person, I can see everywhere they go, but then there's this one area, this one small area where they are unknown and they're unknown in that area for 12 hours every day and they're there at night. And it's like, well, it's probably where they live. So I really question the efficacy of how most people would even use a Faraday bag and what kind of benefits they would even get from it. That's not to say that if you know what you're doing, you can't get benefit. I think a great example of a Faraday bag is if you're getting ready to go to a protest, but you want to make sure your phone is completely like unable to contact anything. You throw it in there before you leave, but you can still have access to your phone in an emergency. That's a great use case for a Faraday bag. But I think a lot of people talk about Faraday bags as like a daily tool that they use. And in that situation, it really just doesn't fit with many people's threat models. And I think if you were to like critically dig through like what you're actually accomplishing, it wouldn't be what you think it is. So those are my thoughts on Faraday bags. If you have a use case for them, make sure they work and make sure that it's a very well thought out use case. Otherwise, it's kind of a like more chill thing that we can just talk about for fun. Or if you're a very high threat model person, then you're gonna know exactly the kind of situations where you're gonna need one. Those are my general thoughts on Faraday bags. So yeah, for the record, I've never used one. I've never had a use for one. And if you have, definitely share along what your use case has been. To be fair, being notified when people leave, change names, change devices is a good privacy feature. I do agree. It's definitely good, and I like the transparency. But there has to be a way to, yeah, I don't know. It's a good point. Yeah, if you just didn't show that information, that would open up a lot of abuse, potentially. libarch Linux package manager. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. That's cool. See, I'm just familiar with like the R. That's it. Like when I use Arch, it's just the R. So yeah. What are your opinions on Florp? I use it myself and I swap to it after using Waterfox. I get this question a lot now. I don't think people should just avoid Florp, so I don't like hate the project or anything. I just feel like it's hard for me to recommend. You know, it's run by a single developer. Last I checked, you know, if anything's updated, let me know. But last I checked, it's run by a single developer who might be doing some really cool things, but it doesn't give me the kind of confidence for something I can recommend to a ton of people yet. I know I just made like a top Firefox alternatives video and I didn't include them in that, and some people left comments. So that's just generally my loose thought. I know a lot of people like it. A lot of people in our community use it. I just think that there's already lots of great alternatives to Florp that are coming out. We have things like Zen Browser that have a lot more community support, a lot more people on the team, a lot more oversight. And I think Zen's a much nicer place to send people before Florp in its current state. So just my general thought. If you like Florp, if you use it, continue using it. But that's kind of why it's not something I rush to like recommend to people. And if you want more context, check out the Techler criteria on our resources. It's on the top of the page. And you'll see that I think Florp doesn't like quite align with everything there yet. I would just check there. Oh, and Lost Lab is here. Oh, okay. Okay, so you explained your own username. That's awesome. Thanks for tuning into the live stream too. That's going to depend on your router. So Grand External asks, can you use Mulvad DNS on your router? It's going to depend if your router supports custom DNS. There's nothing inherently different about Mulvad's DNS. It's publicly accessible. So if you can change your DNS, you can change it to Mulvad DNS. If you use something like a Pi-hole, you most certainly probably can, but it's going to depend on your router and what it allows. Andy said that Proton would move away from Switzerland if the law gets passed. Interesting. Yeah. So again, we're talking worst case scenarios where something crazy happens to Proton, but even Proton seems to have contingency plans. So nothing I said earlier really takes away from that. But just one little update. I haven't seen this myself, so take it with a grain of salt. Not that I distrust you, Urban Duck 6. I just haven't confirmed what you've said yet. Bandy Morgo. Hard question. How do you even make someone switch to another messenger without them making every other of their contacts switch too? Because I fear it could not make sense for them to use another app just to chat with me. Yeah, so I think a really simple way to help with this is just reframing your question, because you're asking, how do you make someone switch to another messenger? I would change it to saying, like, how can I help someone, or like, how can I like encourage someone to use a safer messenger for them, right? Like, if you tailor it to make it more about them and how you can help them, it's probably easier to convince them, right? And then that way you can actually start asking the questions of like, well, why would they benefit from a different messenger? And that's a much better place to start than like, this is my end goal, how do I get them into the end goal? Rather, you should ask, oh, this is where they are and here's where I want to get them. And frankly, like, Signal's great. And if you're on Signal, that's awesome. I try to get everyone on Signal because I think that's a really good place to be for usability. It is also like self-advantageous because that's where mostly I am. But for most people, I realize like, hey, yeah, Signal just kind of makes sense for you. So here's why, and here's why I think it would help you. But that's actually not everybody. So there's a few contacts that I talk to who like, just based on their specific situation, I'll go, oh, okay, I have a backup iMessage account. We'll use that. Maybe down the road, Signal might make more sense, but let's at least move away from SMS. So keep in mind, it's more about the person you're talking to rather than your exact needs. And then if you come at it from that perspective, you could typically get pretty far, I think. I don't know, John. You should ask them. I mean, it's a pretty global thing right now. It's like France has kind of toyed with it, the UK, Switzerland, like a lot of countries are getting more comfortable with the concept of maybe doing something about it. So it's a good question. Kinky Koala, I hate there are more and more news sites going away from RSS. InnoReader has some nice features to combat that a bit though. Huge fan of my InnoReader, Readwise, and Obsidian setup. That sounds really cool. So if you want to expand on that setup in the privacy wins, I'd love to showcase what that setup is because it sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Tor paused their swag program, FYI. Oh, that's a bummer. Hello, Tribal Chief Savage. Hello, do you think Portmaster is a good app? Yeah, I love Portmaster. Open source on Linux and Windows. I hope they roll it out for Mac OS, but it's like my go-to recommendation for like local firewall programs nowadays. It just makes it really easy. Henry, what are your views on smartwatches? This is from Christopher. I'm a Samsung to Garmin convert. And it seems like Garmin respects their users' data more, but what are the privacy implications of wearables in general? Yeah, so I've made a dedicated video. I'd probably just push you to that. I've made a dedicated video on fitness trackers. It's a bit old, so like the recommendations themselves are a bit outdated, but the general principles are still like pretty much the same of like what to look for in a privacy tracker, the difference between daily vital tracking versus activity tracking. That's a little bit of a nuance most people don't understand because nowadays, people leave their watches on their wrists literally all day, every day, and it just tracks everything. So to most people, it's just, yeah, it's just tracking my fitness, right? But I like to, in my head, differentiate tracking like fitness activities, like tracking a run, versus tracking your vitals every single second of the day. And it is possible to have one without the other. And I think that is where Garmin's pretty nice because you don't have to use a Garmin's like daily tracker or an Apple Watch or anything. You can just use it to track your activities. If you're just using it for activities, then it's much easier to keep things private. But if you're doing all like the daily tracking and everything, then you kind of have to use the ecosystems a little more. But anyway, my point is, I'd check out that video to give you the principles, but I think it's due for an update so I can expand on this a little bit more. Let's see. Put your car fobs in Faraday bags when at home. Works for us as a precaution. Yes, that's definitely a good advice. Also depends on the fob. Some fobs like require you to be closer to them. And if that's the case, as long as you keep it away from like windows and stuff, you should be fine. So it's good to just do research on your specific fob on your specific vehicle. Okay, Lelusco, this is a really good question. And I've talked about this a lot, but no harm in repeating it. One thing that I'm still trying to do is use different browsers for different things. At the moment, I have Firefox, LibreWolf, and Mulvad. Any tips on how to organize it? So everyone's different, so please try them out, try different configs. I can't answer what's going to be best for you. Generally, what I've seen that's best, and a lot of people, like, they understand it, and it's easy to set up, and they can make modifications from there, so this is a good starting point. Have an ephemeral browser. Ephemeral means that, like, everything you do in the browser isn't meant to be saved. You don't save logins. It actually wipes data when you close the browser, so it's just meant to be ephemeral. Have one of those. Have a browser for accounts that you want to stay logged into. This is just meant to be convenient, right? Like, let's say for TechLore, for example, I'm on YouTube Studio a lot. So I have a dedicated browser where I'm always logged into YouTube Studio. And I happen to use Brave because it's Chromium-based, because YouTube Studio works 10 times better on a Chromium-based browser instead of a Firefox-based browser. I wonder why. But my point is, it really helps my work. It helps my daily workflow. It makes things easy to always have that logged in browser in Brave. The third one is you can have like, and this is optional, you can have like a really private browser, and it's always just probably gonna be Tor browser for most people. But to keep it simple, let's just leave that out of there. For most people, they just need two browsers to start. One is ephemeral and one is in like an account. And thank you for all the hearts and the confetti and the hundreds and the smiley faces. Yes, thank you. But those are two good places to start. So again, have an ephemeral browser and then have a browser for your accounts. And those are configured very differently, which is why it's good to have two of them. And typically for me, I mean, it's Mulvad as my ephemeral, and that's my default browser. So any link is automatically opened in this ephemeral browser. And then I also have Brave for just my accounts. And then within Brave, I have multiple profiles. So I have a Techlor profile, I have a Cake Wallet profile, I have a surveillance report profile. And then I also have the Tor browser separate from that to be able to open Onion links and stuff like that. And then I also have a couple other browsers for testing if something breaks. So like I have like regular Safari ready to go on Apple devices. And then I also have Vivaldi installed and like Chrome. I pretty much have every browser installed mainly for troubleshooting purposes. Like, oh crap, this site didn't work in neither Firefox or Brave. Like, what do I do? So I open it in like a regular stock browser to just see if it's broken like for everybody or just for me. So I'm sure a lot of people probably have, and it can also be just the default browser on your system as well. Like that's fine as well. I hope that helps. Like that, but that's my general breakdown. Save us from regulations, save Mulvad and Tuda from the evil EU. Yeah, I mean, this happens globally. It's not just the EU, and the EU actually does a lot of cool things like GDPR. So I don't think, and I talked about this recently, we need to like attack like policies, not countries or continents, because the US has done really cool things that are good for privacy, and they've done a lot of bad things that are bad for privacy, and same with Switzerland, and same with Sweden, and same with all these different countries. Like, they do some good things and some bad things. So it's better if we like say, no, what you did here is good, what you did here is bad, and here's why it's bad. If we just go after continents or countries, it actually makes it easier for them to just write it all off as just people complaining, and then they'll just pass whatever the hell they want anyway. And it almost like you're creating the story at that point, that like you're setting things up to happen in that way when you make those kinds of, this is my opinion, of course, but when you say like, save us from them and doing all the stuff they're going to do, instead of saying like, oh, that's what they're going to do, be like, no, we're gonna stop them from doing that. Like change it from a reactionary to like an action based approach, if that makes sense. So go after the specific things. Don't give up. Don't just say, oh, how do we stop personalities? No, go after it. Neil says, best use of a Faraday bag, keep the phone shut off and inside it, except for the rare times away from home that the phone needs to be used. Make your own Faraday bag. I have never seen how to make your own Faraday bag. So it'd be cool to see how you do that. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you got it. So you're looking to move to Proton and you're wondering if you need to read the privacy policy in TOS. You can if you want. Yeah, I mean, I won't discourage you from doing it. It's kind of your call if you think it's worth your time. If you want a way to do it, like TLDR, there's a service called Terms of Service Didn't Read. And I'll go ahead and show you guys it, actually, because I can. So if you go to your search engine and type TOSDR, Terms of Service Didn't Read, you just go to their website, and then you can go ahead and just type any service, like Proton. And then here's like Proton as a whole, and then they give a rating and they kind of just give you the general points. So terms may be changed without notice. Instead of asking directly, it will assume your consent. Service tracks its web pages, referred you to it, and any liability on behalf of the service is only limited. Then it'll tell you like the good things and it'll tell you like neutral things. It's a good way to get a general breakdown of services. And I believe they also have an extension as well, so you can actually view things a little more conveniently. But you can check out things like Amazon and why Amazon is like formally bad. Really cool service. So if you haven't seen this, check it out. And hopefully that helps people like go through and like not have to read every single privacy policy out there. It's a really cool service. And I believe they're all open source as well. Let's see here. Also, shout out, I don't know the peak viewers. Let me see. 185. Maybe soon we'll hit over 200. It'd be cool if for week 50, we can hit 200. I think that'd be awesome. So nice to have you all here. Just started using Portmaster on Windows, but need another similar app as I use virtual machines, which don't work with Portmaster. Which virtual machines? Because it's supported on Linux, so you can install Portmaster on each virtual machine. The only operating system that Portmaster can't be used on is macOS. So, yeah. My browsers I like is ungoogled, I assume ungoogled Chromium and LibreWolf. In ungoogled Chromium, I know how to clear data on exit is in the Chrome flags. Nice, yeah, good stuff. Got it. Okay. Got it. Got it, Kinky Koala. Let's see. I see you guys are helping each other out. That's awesome. Cool. Nice little setup, Rappian. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, no, TOSDR is a really cool service if you haven't used it before. Rip, I joined late. Well, you're still here. So like, yeah, you missed the beginning, but you can always rewind. So feel free to just tag along, share any wins, and go ahead and send any questions. We're still going to be on for, let's see, just to check in on time for another like 10 minutes. And that should give me 15 minutes. So to give you context today, things are crazy. I've had meetings and just regular work in the morning. I have this live stream literally in 25 minutes. So that's why I'm saying 10 minutes. It'll give me 15 minutes to prep for the next thing, which is a Techlore Talks interview that I'm doing with the CEO of Redact.dev, which I'm really excited for. Context, I'm like 6 interviews behind. There's like 6 of them already recorded. I think one with IVPN, one with Alma Linux, one with Session. Some really cool interviews. I'm already forgetting the other few at this point. Nova Custom, Buskill, like, so those are 5, and then we're going to have Redact. Oh, and IVPN? Did I already say IVPN? Anyway, there's a lot of cool interviews. I've already recorded. I just need to get them edited. So those will come out soon, and that is happening. I'm recording that right after this, and then right after I record with them, the interview, I'm hopping on with Nate to record surveillance reports. So I'll be talking a lot today. Luckily, you guys are at the beginning of that, where I still have my voice. But if you watch the new surveillance report, that will hopefully come out Sunday. If my voice is shot, then you know why. Let's see. Grujo, let's see. By the way, Henry, I remind you of Signal as the last chat. Okay, oh, so true. Okay, so on Signal, Grujo said, here's where I think Proton could ideally move their headquarters. And I'll say my opinion, Japan. I guess John made a really good point in our last discussion. Okay, let's see. John said Japan's obsession with personal privacy and very low crime rate would mean there'd be very little political motivation to go after encryption. Yeah, but I think the reality is, so my pushback on this, if you're, you know, let's say you're Proton, it doesn't matter the local government and like the local culture, because if you're Proton and you're based in Japan, if you're now, you know, they're now responsible in Japan for having any kind of illegal content. So Japan is now going to have to like go after Proton, and if anything, it might just add more pressure. So yeah, there's other things to be looking for, I think. So I don't know enough about Japan to know if it's good or bad. Just know that I think the reasoning for why it could be good won't necessarily fully protect Proton either. Yeah, just something to think about. It's really hard. Legal stuff is difficult, jurisdiction's difficult, and it's something that I hope people like just follow and take pretty seriously. There's no like one-stop shop for this kind of stuff. Let's see. I already knew TOSDR. I just thought that reading all the TOS entirely would be better. But no, yeah, I mean, you can if you want to. Again, I'm not going to stop you from doing it, but that's typically a good starting point to catch massive red flags for whether or not you should sign up for a service. You got it? You got it. Do you know of any Discord alternative that has good working voice calls? Okay, so I did a Discord alternatives live stream, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I would just, so the way these are structured is I cover like the highlight of the title and thumbnail at the beginning. So if you go ahead and watch that one, the very beginning should cover like all the Discord alternatives. And we got a super chat. Let me go ahead and check it out. Colin, you didn't leave a comment. But yes, if you want to be featured, definitely go ahead and send along any love here. Here we go. Colin, how do I sign up for private chat? What do you mean for private chat? So yeah, expand on what you mean by private chat. Like with me, with like the groups, like we have some Techlorian groups, like private signal groups. Like let me know exactly what you're referring to. And then let me go ahead and check in. Can you grow your hair like Bob Ross for the lulz? Okay, when my hair gets long, it really irritates me. So probably not. Because when it gets long, it's just too hard to maintain. And then I do videos and people are like, oh my God, did he just wake up and hop on the video? And honestly, half the times, yeah. But like, you shouldn't be able to notice that. So I like having shorter hair so you guys don't know that I just woke up from a nap and recorded a video. I have that right. Let's see here. Portmaster slowed my laptop down by quite a bit. Is that normal? I don't know. I would contact their support and see what they say. You rep that Techlor pretty hard today. Yes, yes. Yeah, I think a virtual card is probably a good way to do that, if they support it. Looking forward to the interviews. Me too. Do you prefer Mastodon or Blue Sky, by the way? Definitely Mastodon. I'm team Mastodon. I'm on Blue Sky on the Techlor side of things, but I still haven't got a solid answer from anyone what Blue Sky is trying to do that's overall fundamentally better than Mastodon. Like, I know the profile management is a little bit cleaner on Blue Sky, but I just feel like Blue Sky has never really been designed in a way to ever actually be properly decentralized like Mastodon. So those are my personal thoughts, but I think both of them in their current place are pretty solid options. How do I get in the private signal? Oh, I see, I see. Yeah, so that's for Techlorians. And you're asking. So let me go ahead and just share with you guys. Last week, I teased this a bit. And it's done as of like right before. So this is something I'm really excited about. It's something I've always wanted to do because we've always had like Patreon, and then we had YouTube memberships, and now we had our forum. And we have all these different places to support Techlor, and I've got a lot of questions from you guys over the years over like, oh, well, here, I want to talk while I do this. Let me see if I can get myself to up here. There I am. I've got a lot of questions from you guys of like, well, which one should I join? And then the first response is, well, if you join through the forum, it's the least amount of fees. So like your support goes the furthest on the forum. Patreon takes a cut. YouTube takes a much bigger cut. But either way, I wanted to get perks kind of like centralized. So, I just published this before the live stream. The long story short here is that if you become a Bronze Techlorian on either Patreon or our forum, which is $5 a month, you get access to our signal group and now a SimpleX group. So that just launched like an hour ago, not like 2 hours ago. So that is now part of the same like thing. You can join both groups and you get access to both of them. The only thing, you can't access this through YouTube because YouTube, this all allows, like, in order to keep the rooms private, I do like DMs. So like you join Patreon, you send me a DM with your signal username and that's how I can know that's your account. YouTube doesn't do DMs, so you can't directly contact me through YouTube. So instead you just get priority comment access. So like I'm going to prioritize all of you guys in our YouTube comments and in our YouTube live streams. So that's kind of the trade-off. Silver Techlorians, I'm doing a new thing where I'm going to be creating a public Techlor short response. So essentially, like, I'll leave a thread open, I'm thinking every 1 or 2 weeks, and then you just come in there, you leave a question, and it's kind of like a Q&A, but the difference is I'm going to record, like, a personalized short answering your question in as quick as I can and posting that to YouTube, and probably TikTok as well. So it's a way to, like, have your questions showcased, but also answer them for the broader community. So that's for Silver. And then Gold is like a personal shout out in videos, and you also get to be on our website's homepage. And then Diamond is a new thing I'm playing with, but once a month, I'm essentially just gonna turn off like Do Not Disturb on my phone and my devices, and you can practically just bug me all day. Like, that's pretty much the concept. I'm gonna see how it works. There's like, of course, like, you can't be creepy. It's meant to be like, you know, a way to like get to know me. It's supposed to be a way to like ask me questions, learn something. And it's like one day where I can just commit to like you guys. Because normally, like with this kind of stuff, it's really hard to coordinate like times and scheduling. But this is a way for me to just open myself up to be just on demand for just very specific people who want that kind of exclusivity, which I've been asked to have. And typically it's only through coaching, which I'm pretty restrictive about because that's for very certain use cases. So yeah, anyway, you can join this if you want to support TechLore. Last year, the number one revenue source for TechLore to like keep all this alive and keep it going was you all from the community still, which is super cool. And I'm super proud of that. And I want to keep that going. And I'm really excited for this. So you can join on our forum, you can join on Patreon, and you can also join on YouTube. Though YouTube, again, is the most limited. It's like almost perk parity across all three of them. YouTube, you can't join the Signal or SimpleX groups, and you also can't join Diamond from YouTube. But everything else on YouTube you will get as well. And you're all going to see posts coming out in the next couple days to lock this all in. So thank you all. And I know that these perks go through a lot of changes. So I try my best to still like maintain things from the last one and bring it over. But yeah, if you guys ever want to see any perks or you have any questions about this, you can always send a message. It's a public post here on the forum. So check it out. I hope that answers your question, Colin. Let me go ahead and pull up here. Okay, let me go ahead and call in. Can I pay XMR to be a bronze? So sadly, no. The main reason is it's really hard to keep, and I'm sure you know this, it's really hard to keep track of like Monero users, and there isn't anything. So right now there's xmrchat.com, which is awesome, but it's really good for one-time things. It's really hard to like track and keep memberships, like a full Patreon-like alternative that's Monero only. So I have thought about it, and I think the way to do this, it'd have to be done annually, if that makes sense. So I want to do it, but it would all have to be manual. And you have to remember, we have like, I don't know how many, but I think we have at least 50 different people across, like the Signal group has 80 people in it, just for context. And if I have to manually keep up with 80 people and like keep them on a spreadsheet and be like, oh, this person paid last year at, you know, April 11th, this is when they joined. And now I need to bug them to make sure they pay the next annual. It's a lot of me bugging you guys, and it's really hard to do it manually. I'd love to see, and if you have a service that would automate this, I'd love to hear it because it would be awesome to offer. And it's something I'd love to do and integrate. So I would love to do it. I'd love to be like the change I want to see because I want to see Monero used more often. So if there's a way to do it that's clean and like efficient for everybody, I'd love to hear it. In the meantime, it's pretty hard to do. So yeah. I've also... very curious for your guys' thoughts. Some people on the forum have been talking about having like some kind of lifetime purchase. So if you don't like subscriptions, so on our forum here, if you click subscribe, there it actually is just a way to tip. I don't have perks attached to it, but I know not everybody likes subscriptions, and so I wanted a way for you guys to just tip individually. My point is, some people like kind of similar to that have been asking for like a lifetime option, where you get access to like the Signal groups and the SimpleX group and just pay a one-time fee to get in. It's a bit hard to price for it because like, you know, I feel like I'm gonna have to make it like expensive to like make up for like, you know, time that you'd otherwise do it for a subscription. So if it's something you're interested in, let me know. And I feel like that could be similar to like the Monero thing. If there's a lifetime option, then it's really easy to do something with Monero because then I just take care of it once and it's not too different from fiat. So long story short, let me know your thoughts on all these things. I'd love to hear. Love to hear what you guys think. And I'd love to make perks that you guys enjoy and like different onboarding processes. So let me know. Marnix says to remember to hydrate. Got a little water here. And thank you, Colin, for the tips as well. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, JGL Lip. I've paid for a month of Kaji, which is a search engine. Curious what you think of using Proton. I just joined stream, by the way, so sorry if you're repeating, currently on Outlook. Okay, so I hope you like Kaji. I mean, we just added them to our resources. I don't use it, but I did a review of Kaji if you guys are all curious about it and what I think about it. Curious what you think of using Proton. I'm still using Proton. The last stream last week talked about like potential like alternatives to Proton and why you might consider them. But overall, I think Proton's a pretty good place to be. So don't mind, especially if you're coming from Outlook. I think it's going to be pretty good. It's not like people love Outlook's usability anyway, generally speaking. Tatake, pretty sure Signal's banned in my country. Yeah, so there is SimpleX as well. It's another option, and our group is on SimpleX now. First time I discovered TOSDR and read about moral right waivers, I literally shouted, "Nothing makes sense," and the internet sucks in my head. Like, I got really mad at some policy details. But it's good. I mean, I think that's really like what it's about, is TOSDR makes like privacy policies that people would normally never read and understand accessible. So it's a really cool project. Forgot to heart this. What am I doing? I don't even know why I'm. Why am I still here? Oh crap. Okay, I gotta prep for my interview. So let me wrap this up. This is like last minute call. Like leave your last minute questions. But I gotta hop on an interview in like 10 minutes now. So sorry for like the late or the. Sorry for the rushed exit. Let's see. Do Apple Intelligence and Microsoft Copilot Recall read the screen? If so, end-to-end encryption is useless and passwords too. Is Google Gemini doing this too? Okay, that's a pretty long one, and I don't have too much time to get into it. They do have different implementations, and I know on TechLore Talks in the past, we've talked about Apple Intelligence and like the different levels of privacy you get depending on what you do. A lot of Apple Intelligence actually either happens locally or is processed like somewhat privately through Apple's like servers, but not everything. So we talked more about the nuance there and like what's good and bad. Almost across the board, though, Apple Intelligence is better than Microsoft stuff. I will just say that. And I don't have an issue saying just flat out. Yeah. Yeah, okay, so Kinky Koala, weren't the old Patreon tiers animal themed? Yes, they used to be. I then realized that animals have nothing to do with anything I talk about. And I wanted something that was a little bit more, like, better themed towards TechLore. So I actually really like the new TechLorean theme, and now you can be a TechLorean on any platform. And I think it's a much cooler name and it's catchy and I enjoy it. But yes, we used to be like lemurs and different things and it was fun back then. I never got the code. It's the same with Telegram. Let's see. Your smile brightens my day. Keep doing what you do. Yeah, of course. No, I'm really glad to hear that. And you guys, like, when I do these streams, I feel like I smile more because it's really fun to be here with you guys. And you guys always have a good attitude. It's hard not to make this positive. I mean, it's like the privacy wins of the week. So, yeah, it's I hope that it's positive. Let's see. Now that Jonah's left TechLore, is it still possible that you two will make live streams together in the future? I won't say it's not possible. We don't have any plans on it. So yeah, I wouldn't count on it, but you never know. And if you want to follow the content they're doing, they're posting content over at Privacy Guide, so you can definitely go check that out. Yeah, I kind of want to move. It's just that, okay, discuss that privately. Good luck, my dude. Totally gonna check out SimpleX after the stream. I just ignored it until now, but I finally got my first 3-month contact after so many years. Nice. Sorry for the off-topic question, but do you believe a cybersecurity and privacy channel on YouTube would survive? I mean, like, we're here. So, yeah, of course. There's other privacy channels as well. Like, yeah. Come on. You're asking the guy who's here, like, talking to you. Of course, I'm gonna say yes. So, go ahead and do it. Like, do it to him. Thank you for the great week. I see. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, RBQ426, who is also a member. Thank you, Colin, for leaving a few tips. Thank you all for tuning in. I wanna thank all of our TechLoreans and people in our Signal group. Who have been active, sending questions, making this as fun as it can be. I want to thank everybody for leaving their wins in the stream. Literally couldn't do this without you. And definitely join week 50. You get to be in week 50 if you join and leave your win. So join it on the forum. Check out the new TechLorean perks if you want to support what we're doing. And I'll see you next time. And I'm sorry it's getting a little buggy, so I'm going to go ahead and cancel it. It looks like I'm starting to lag out a little bit here. So, see you all next time on TechLore. See you next week.